Good morning and welcome everybody. We are going to get started. We are 15 minutes over time, so I think it's time for us to begin. It will be different today. We will have a mix of songs and Bible narration and then a short message, and we'll end it with a couple songs. So we're very thankful for Phil on the piano. He is not feeling well, but he has volunteered to help increase our joy by singing and playing. So thank you. We are going to begin with the first song, hymn number 145, O Little Town of Bethlehem, How Still We See Thee Lie, 145.
To be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room, guest room available for them.
Thank you. The next song we will sing is Joy to the World, hymn number 144 in your handbook. 144. If you have a red hymn book in front of you, please take it and sing along. And sing along.
Joy to the world.
This session is going to be unpredictable in the sense you don't know the order of service, so you have to pay attention.
Welcome, Mr. Penny. Thank you for coming.
So you have to pay attention to see what's going on, and hopefully it sparks your imagination. You have to guess who I am. I'm playing a part. Ours is a hard life. From the time we wake up to whenever we get to sleep, our lives revolve around these precious, beautiful animals. Now, these are not ordinary lambs. These are raised for only one purpose: to be offered to Yahweh, the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in His temple, for this is the only sacrifice that He would accept. A perfect God who requires a perfect sacrifice offered on behalf of, guess who? Imperfect people. I'll say it again. A perfect God who requires a perfect sacrifice on behalf of imperfect people. If you'd like to know more, you can talk to the scribes in the temple. They usually are busy, but they, unlike us, spend their lives reading and teaching the Torah, where these things are revealed to us by God. To be continued, we'll play another song, which would be
Angels We Have Heard on High,
153.
Glory.
before then.
Are you with me?
I hope you are.
So one night, as we kept watch over the flock, we witnessed an unforgettable sight. First, a mighty angel appeared in dazzling light, unlike anything we've seen before. It's the glory of that light which made us all afraid. I wondered if this was for real, and then I heard the angel say, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Then he gave us a sign. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." This was followed by a company of angels and the announcement, who were praising God by saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. The sight of the angels and the announcement was terrifying, to say the least, but somehow this brought us great joy. Why would God bring these angels to us of all people? And what's the connection? I wondered how this child that they announced is related to who we are and what we do. And so we decided to go to the town of Bethlehem and find out for ourselves. That brings us to our next hymn, which is "O Come All Ye Faithful," hymn number 142 in the hymn book. 142 in the hymn book. From one cattle shed to another until we found it exactly as the angel described. This baby had just arrived. Although the manger setting was just plain ordinary, we couldn't help but see this child with wonder. Is this the Savior of the world? And why is he lying in a manger? You know, we expected there a big gathering of religious leaders and political rulers. But there it was just us and this baby and Mary or Marian and the mother, Mary and Joseph. And then our familiar company, which is some more animals. This night was unlike any other. This baby also was like any other. And I thought to myself, why are we the ones to welcome this child? Where are the scribes and the religious leaders on this night? Why are they not here? I was amazed that of all the people in Israel, God would give us, the outcasts, the privilege of welcoming the Messiah the night he was born. Could he be the Lamb? When we describe the appearance of the angels announcing his birth to Mary, she was just as amazed as we were. This was a glorious moment. We glorified God together and we left the manger, praising God and joyfully sharing this news with all we met. And that brings us to our last song before we get to the message, which is Silent Night. I think you all know it well. Hymn number 147. In C. Yeah, thank you. Hymn number 147.
Thank you. As we keep our eyes on the Lord, a round of applause for Brother Phil. He is not keeping well, but he decided to help us. Thank you very much, Brother Phil. Thank you. We really appreciate that. Thank you. So, greetings to you all. thank you for coming, and thank you, Jasmine, for bringing our lovely children so we can spend this time together. I will share a few brief thoughts, and I hope you can follow along. These songs are a reminder of certain glorious events that happen on this very earth we live. We are people who get very excited when there's a game or some human excitement, but very rarely are we witnesses of something that is supernatural as this. And so I hope that with these songs and the small narrations, as simple as they were, hopefully sparked our imagination and brought us to wonder. This season is all about wondering, and hopefully the next step, which is worship. If we cannot stop and think about the very reason for Christmas, we're like those people who likely went to a presidential inauguration, and when somebody asks us what happened there, all we can say is that, well, we saw some balloons, we ate some good food. What else happened? Well, that was it. What else were you expecting? But didn't you see the president? I guess not. So hopefully we are keeping our eyes on the one who is really at the heart of this celebration. I would like to read a verse which was given as a promise to a very ancient people. They're still here, and that is the Jewish people. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 and 7, one of their famous prophets, major prophets, gave these words through the Holy Spirit. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. I want to be brief, not to take too much time explaining these verses, but did you catch the four titles of this child who is to be born, but he's also a son who is given? So this son comes from somewhere. He didn't begin, but he's a child who is born. So you have to combine those two ideas together. Our human minds always struggle when there's the supernatural involved, but God gives us in so many ways words to understand what cannot be described otherwise. A son is given, but it's a child who is born. And this child will have, these are not his first and last names, Wonderful Counselors. These are his titles. He's the Wonderful Counselor. There is no counsel that is above him. He comes from the very throne of God. He's the Wonderful Counselor. He is the Mighty God. It would be blasphemous, especially coming as a Jew, to call somebody Mighty God. But this little child will bear that title. He's going to be Mighty God. Stop and think. Never before or after would a child of this kind be born. He would be called Everlasting Father, or Father of Eternity, which means that everything that is eternal proceeds from him. If you want eternal life, go to him. He's not the Father, but he fathers eternity in the sense that he is God himself. And then he is the Prince of Peace. In the Old Testament, the good news was that he is coming. And he's so glorious, the prophet said. They could see this at a distance, maybe hundreds of years away. And they were excited. Their lives were worthwhile because they caught a glimpse of this little child who was to be born. And in time, 700 years later, after Isaiah's prophecy, this child was born. And he had many more titles than the four we looked at. He was called, in his lifetime, the Lamb of God. John the Baptist pointed to him and said, he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He was called Messiah, Christ the Lord, the night he was born. He was called the Son of David. And eventually he will be called the Lion of Judah. He would be the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the ever I am. He always was and is and will be. There is nothing that came into being without him. He's the creator. He's the great high priest. And he is the great I am. If he's not the great I am, it's an utter blasphemy to give him that name. But he is the great I am. And on earth he referenced himself as the Son of Man many times, more times than any other title. And he called himself as the Son of God. Is there anyone born in history like him? Born so humble and yet so great in who he really is. I cannot. I'm amazed every time I look at him that I get to talk to him every day that he is my Savior. He's the sweetest name on earth. He's the most powerful name. He's the name with the most authority on earth. All authority is with him. And the angel, due to lack of time, we'll go quickly. The angel met with both Mary and Joseph separately. To Mary, it was told that you will call his name Jesus. To Joseph in a dream that you will call his name Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sins. So there was no conflict when they came together what the name of the child should be. And ever since, it has been the sweetest name that our lips have spoken, the name of Jesus. And then in Matthew 1:23, another title is given to him, which is he is Emmanuel, God with us. This is God declaring that he wants to be with us. And so great was his desire in love to be with us, in mercy and in compassion, that he willingly came down. And for this, he had to become one like us. And he willingly did. He humbled himself. He took off his robes of glory, or maybe veiled it with his human flesh. And he came down as a humble baby. It's a thought that actually, I don't have a more precious thought to think about when I think about another person. That he would be so humble. We read the backstage view from Philippians chapter 2. Being in the form of God, which is in essence God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but humbled himself and became a servant. So he is God with us. And not only that, he would make a provision for him to be in us. God in us, Christ in us. We were so far from God, we Gentiles, we had no God, no hope, outside the commonwealth of Israel, and now we get to see God who is with us, who becomes like us, and in Christ, God is in us. His presence is in us. The triune God comes to make their dwelling in us. And we have to ask ourselves, this is a shocking sight. I know if we are not paying attention, we could easily miss the wonder of what I'm describing. This morning I thought about it. If this was not necessary, this coming of the Lord Jesus would have been the most foolish errand ever. Why would you go through such a waste and pain and rejection? I don't understand. You were so comfortable in your throne up there. If this was not necessary, it would be stupidity to come down. But if this was necessary, how great our need must be that he had to step down from where he was to come down and become a baby. Do you realize how desperate our need was that he had to come down to such a state? It humbles me this morning just to think that he thought about me. We did not deserve Jesus, but we desperately needed him. And in love and wisdom, he saw our need and decided to help. And he did not stop at any cost. He gave it all, full expenses paid. He came down, didn't ask anything from us. He took a small place when he came the night he was born, in a manger, didn't disturb anybody. And he stepped down. And so, as we read Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, the angel, I read it in my narration, the angel described that first words were, "Fear not," because all the shepherds were afraid. What is going on? Are we going to survive this? What is this light? And then the next words were, "I'm bringing you great tidings, glad tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." So until now in the Old Testament, the good news was, Messiah is coming, Messiah is coming, keep looking, keep looking. And now the angel says, he has come. This is good news for all people. Great joy, good news, he has come. He so desired to be with us. He wanted to be like us in everything except sin. And these days, nothing seems to get our attention. We're busy with our lives. We have too many things going on. Our toys, we are busy with them. Our jobs, school, whatever, our phones. But we must stop and wonder.
The first Christmas was unlike anything that we have known. And for this, truly, you need to take some time out to think about the Lord. This was poverty. If you would go and see the manger, you probably won't miss the stink of that setting. It's a smelly setting for the King of the universe, but you see no complaining there. There's glory to God, there's heavenly glory, there's no pricey gifts there. It's just very ordinary. The first Christmas, and for many years there was no Christmas, by the way. That all came later. But here is what there was, and we should not miss it. There was wonder, there was joy, there was glory, and there was worship, because they had in their midst an unaffordable gift. Mary would have wondered, why am I the baby of the Son of the Highest? She had in her hands the greatest person of all human history. And there, when you come and see this baby, I don't know what you would think of, what would be your thoughts, but to me, it looks like when God humbled himself and became a baby, he was making a very strong statement. Being 100% God and 100% man, he was showing that he is humble, not proud, that he is lowly, that he is meek and accessible to all. This set the tone of the life of Jesus. You will never see Jesus proud. You will never see him. He's always meek and lowly. But do not mistake that for loss of power. He had great authority and power, but he was meek and lowly at the same time. Meekness and majesty, infinite and finite, supernatural and natural, ordinary and extraordinary, heaven and earth come together in Jesus. Who is this child? Philippians 2. He is God who has become man. You see him, he is the embodiment. He is truth become a person. This has never happened before. He is love become a person. He is light become a person. He is hope become a person. And finally, he is life become a person. This morning we were listening. He is life eternal who was incarnated. He's the embodiment of all this. This has never happened. He could point to himself and say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The one we talk about every Sunday we are here, the one we cannot see, is the one I'm talking about. He's a man in glory. His glory far exceeds. He owns the whole place. He owns you and me. So, with all this, we have to ask, why did he come? He came to reveal the Father. He came to take away our sins. He came not to serve, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He said, I have not come for the righteous. I have come to call the sinners to repentance. He said, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. And this morning we read that he has come to destroy our enemy called the devil. He has come to destroy him who had the power of death. And he came to give life. In the Gospel of John, you read over and over and over again that he came to give life. He came from above to give life. And he came to die our death. Paul would write, God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died our death. And with his lifeblood, he would redeem us. He is the reason for the season. Do not miss him. In all the excitement of the celebration, somebody said it's like a birthday party. You go to the hundreds of kids enjoying the birthday, and nobody knows who the birthday kid is. You know, he's somewhere there, and I hope that's not the case. We should never. It's possible to have adoration for the Lord without all the trappings and the celebration. It's good to have celebration, but do not miss the Lord. I'll be quick. 33 years later, this little child is hung on a cross after having lived a perfect life, the only life about whom God the Father could see and say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Perfect life of words that heaven and earth will pass away, but not these words. Were a life of works of compassion and power, raising the dead back to life, calming the storm, helping the lame to walk in an instant, touching and cleansing the lepers. This was an amazing life, and yet it ended on a cross. And we see him there dying willingly. And the next stage is the empty tomb. This child who was lying in a manger is the conqueror over death. He rose again victorious. You will not find a bone of his, a shred of his, anything at all, because he rose again physically. And look now where he is. He's at the right hand of the Father. And he said he's coming again. The Prince of Peace. There can be no peace. The world can try all it wants, but you will not get true peace without the Prince of Peace. May I say this humbly. In your and my life also, there can be no peace outside of the Prince of Peace. And by the way, he's also the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's going to come again. We're reading on Wednesdays, the coming of the Lord. He's going to come and conquer and earn the world for himself. It rightfully belongs to him. So I want to conclude with one thought. Have you ever been to a party where you were uninvited? Like, you were not invited, but you just happened to be there, either by accident or... Have you felt the nervousness of being in such a setting? Like, somebody will call you out, or, you know, this is not going to last, and you're sitting there nervous. And maybe the best thing that can happen is a good friend of yours who is invited can let you in. That at least gives you confidence. Hey, my friend called me, so I'm okay there. I thought about this, that this is a party where the one who is throwing the party has invited all people. This is glad tidings of great joy for all people, and that includes you and me. This is good news of great joy for all people. Do not look for joy outside of this. It's right here. It's in this little baby who was born, who would die for you. He brings you great joy. He's a savior. And John 3:16, we'll end with that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What an invitation, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Paul wrote towards the end of his life in a letter that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And so this morning I would like to leave us with that, with those thoughts of the Lord Jesus. There is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. I don't want to be too nostalgic about the nativity scene and all of that. My eyes, I want it to be focused on this man who came, who was not a baby. He came down and became a baby, and he moved on from there. And now he lives to intercede for us. He is the only hope that man has, both now and forever. I'd like to conclude with a song. Most of you have heard it. It is a song that is in figure sung to Mary. Can you guess what that song is? Anybody? Mary, did you know? So I'll try to sing it. Our soloist is not here. She's not well. But I'm going to try. Did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and our daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kissed your little baby, you kissed the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The The dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb.
did you know that your baby boy is the Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nation? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I.
So because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I think most of us know that song, and then we'll end it with our traditional last song. Alright, those of us who know it by heart could sing it. Sorry, I don't have the words here.
God sent his son. They call him Jesus. He came to love.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us your Son
Father, you know exactly where we're at. You know everything about our pitiful condition, Lord. We turned our back against you. We lived in the darkness of death, and you sent your Son in your love and mercy. We rejoice in the fact that you gave us your Son, and He's the greatest possession we have. Thank you for placing us who have believed in Him in your Son, and no man can take us away from this position. We thank you that you are the one who sustains us, leads us, and one day we will be in the presence of your Son. We look forward to that. We want to be more like Him. Give us the heart and mind of your Son. We pray you would help us as we go through life to know Him more and to be like Him. We thank you for helping us in this second meeting. We pray for anybody here who may not know this joy that comes from knowing your Son. We pray that they'd be drawn to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your blessings. We commend those who are in need, those who are sick. We remember Sister Dana and anybody else, Alana, Sister Alana's mom, as well as others who are not able to be here. We commend each one to you. Help us during this time that we would keep our eyes focused on you. And we ask this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Number 672, first and last verse. This week, Jean and I had some sorrow in our life. A real good friend of ours, 16 years of age, his house got fire while he was asleep and he was burned to death. And unfortunately, he didn't know the Lord, he would not accept the Lord. Let's do the first and last verse.